Now, Dave Kaufman hosts The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman, but also Jay Farrar. The Kaufman Show, only on TSN 690.
Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. I'm Dave. That's Jay, and we are here for another jam-packed episode of the Kaufman Show. Hey, Jay.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I love nothing more than opening up a newspaper and seeing that if the playoffs started today, it would be the Montreal Canadiens and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Awesome.
It's so exciting.
That's great.
I know we're a week away. Anything can still happen, or I don't know anything. I mean, we know we're making the playoffs.
I love these people online. Oh, no, you know, please, Canadians, play better or play worse. We don't want to play the Leafs. It's the playoffs, guys. You're gonna have to beat the best team eventually anyway.
I've luckily filtered that out of my feeds online. I haven't seen any of that.
Oh, you filter them?
Well, unintentionally. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But why would you not want to play Toronto? Why would you not want the Lakers to play the Celtics, the Red Sox to play the Yankees?
Yeah.
This is the best rivalry you get.
Isn't that why you watch sports? What do you want? You want to play the Carolina Hurricanes? Is that what you want to play? Well, you're not going to, but I mean, you know what I mean?
Nothing more depressing.
Yeah.
Another Carolina-Montreal playoff series.
Right? Yeah, with a uniform that was invented in the 90s. Who wants to see that? You want to see classic uniforms out on the ice like it's 1960 all over again?
Wouldn't kill me to see the Islanders on the 20th anniversary of... You know, David Volek and Pierre Turgeon on the Islanders.
Yeah, no, not the Islanders. I want to see the Leafs.
Not in the first round.
I want to see the Leafs and I want to see the Bruins.
Okay. You're saying that this isn't legitimate. The run is not legitimate if the rivals aren't faced.
That's right.
All right.
You got to go out there. You got to beat the best.
All right. All right. So if the Habs were to beat, let's say Chicago doesn't make the final.
Right.
Again, we're getting, you know what, we're getting too far ahead of ourselves right now.
Yeah.
Everybody else is talking about panic and how the team can't get it together.
It's going to be fine.
That's
one of those things.
That's what we said last week.
Yeah. There's only so long that you can melt down. There's only so long. I mean, even the worst teams could not have a meltdown like that. You know, I mean, losing by 5 goals every single game. This is going to last a couple of weeks. They'll get it back together. They'll get fresh a little bit. These guys are tired. They are tired out
there. Well, every team is tired, yeah. Jay.
No, but the Canadians seem to be especially tired. They seem to be pouring it in a little bit more. And I heard Chris Nyland say today with something that which I agree with. He said that, you know, when you're a smaller team, you get pounded on more. And, it has an effect on your mental game as well as your physical game.
I don't think it would be a stretch to say that there has been a sense of complacency since the team qualified for the playoffs.
Oh, well, yeah, that's clear.
That needs to go away and fast.
It really does. And, you know, the timing was pretty good. They started getting into the slump, what, about a week and a half ago?
Roughly.
Yeah. I mean, how long are you going to slump? There's only so long you can melt down. This is the laws of hockey. Well, this is the sports laws. This is the laws of entropy in the gods, in the hockey gods.
The shortest amount of time this could last would be a week plus 4 games.
Right.
The longest would be a little bit longer.
Listen, I'm not saying they're not going to get swept.
The longest could end in a parade.
Yeah.
But, again, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We have a heck of a show tonight. Going to be a lot of fun. We've got Dave Zirin back on the program.
Zirin.
Do you tell your dad?
I told my dad, I called my dad, because my dad will not listen to the show unless Dave Zirin's on, because otherwise we're interfering with Jon Stewart. So,
with
my very
again.
Proud
I've
father.
Never, I've never heard that name before. I don't know who you're talking about.
Jon Stewart and the other guy.
I'll have to look them up.
Yeah, look them up. Yeah, I have no idea either. Never seen a show before.
They're those guys that are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I believe they perform news satirically.
Okay. Well, we don't. Yeah. We can't beat that.
No, it's so clear that we can't beat. But listen,
at least not in your dad's eyes.
Yeah. If my own father is going to choose them over me, I mean, what about the rest of the population?
Well, I.
So listen in, Dad.
We're working on them.
Be a good father. Listen to your son on the radio.
Well, don't guilt him if he's listening right now.
No,
he's
no.
Not gonna enjoy this tact.
I'm going to guilt him. We have to do that.
Thank you for listening, Gary. We appreciate it. And we will be joined by Dave Zirin in a couple of minutes' time. Dave is the sports editor for The Nation. Wrote some beautiful words last week on the Boston Marathon. And we'll talk about that with Dave. Dave also recently saw 42. And I know that his review wasn't glowing. Still says you should see it, but there's a lot that you should know before you do. Have you seen it yet, Jay?
I have not. You know what? I have actually lost interest.
I understand why. Having seen it, I understand why.
And you know me. I'm a big, big Jackie Robinson guy. And sometimes when I go see these biographical movies, they really ruin it for me. Ali did that.
Well, yeah, and that we talked about that on the show last
week. Yeah, I was not a fan of the movie Ali. My brother disagrees with me. We've had some heated arguments over it. I just don't find it captured what the guy really was.
But we also, you were talking about how much you liked Malcolm X, right?
I love Malcolm X. I think it's the perfect film biography because it emphasizes his weaknesses, where he came from, what his past was like, what made him the man that he was. Well, Ali focused on the rumble in the jungle.
It was
basically.
Very hard for 42 to achieve that in the very narrow time frame that they concentrated on. Made it very difficult.
Well, they concentrated on the narrow time frame because
it was easier. It
people
was
people don't know how
way.
To pay attention to anything. People don't know how to sit down and take it in. Make a 3-hour movie. They're too afraid because of marketing purposes.
Crazy to think that the movie couldn't even be as long as a ball game, right?
No. Why would it be?
Anyways, let's bring in our next guest. Very happy to have Dave Zirin back on the program. He is the sports editor at The Nation. You can find all of his stuff on edgeofsports.com, and you can really catch him anywhere. His new book is called Game Over. You can pick it up wherever fine books are sold. Dave Zirin, welcome back to The Kaufman Show.
Oh, hey, great to be here. Thank you. And I can definitely have my 2 cents about 42, which I saw, and I could list 42 reasons why I didn't like it.
It's funny because you started with 5 before you saw it.
Yeah, I had 5 concerns before I saw it, and those 5 concerns mutated and morphed to the point of which I thought I was watching Dances with Baseballs.
Oh, boy.
It was a little much for me, or the Branch Rickey story. It was a lot much for me. I mean, give me a break. If you're going to do a movie about Jackie Robinson, give me Raging Bull. Don't give me Rocky V.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest – it was – I hate to use the word whitewashed because it sort of defeats what the movie was about, but there was such a whitewashing of the entire story.
Oh, sure. And the great tragedy of it is for Jackie Robinson O'Files, if you will, we know that Jackie spent the last really 15 years of his life fighting against his own myth. And the myth is the idea the concept that there was this guy who through his own individual greatness was able to conquer racism and move the country forward and all the rest of it. Like Jackie Robinson in the real world hated that. And for 15 years, he gave speeches about the need to build a much broader movement to achieve real integration in the United States. And he would speak out against his own myth. And so to see a film that kind of consecrates that myth for a new generation was, for me, a very bitter pill to swallow.
And allows Major League Baseball to continue to propagate this as the sort of the championing of the cause when really you see that baseball really doesn't do much at all and the numbers continue to shrink.
Oh, I mean, baseball, Bud Selig, to me, is a reptile when it comes to this issue. Bud Selig, every year, Jackie Robinson Day, he does speeches where he says, and I quote, baseball was a forerunner of the civil rights movement. A forerunner, because
yeah,
Jackie
right.
Robinson came to the league in 1947. I mean, he leaves out this whole little thing called, oh, I don't know, the color line, first of all. Second of all, he leaves out that when baseball owners took their vote about integrating the game, it was 15-1 with Branch Rickey being the one, although it's worth noting that Bill Veeck voted with the 15 because he didn't like the idea of not compensating the Negro Leagues for players, which Branch Rickey was only too happy to do. So that's just like a little asterisk there. But you would never get that. And then the worst part about it, too, is that baseball doesn't do jack now on issues ranging from the low numbers of African-American players to the fact that the Latino players are scared to go to Arizona for fear they're going to get pulled over and asked for their papers. None of that is an issue for Bud Selig. Bud Selig could care less about any of that stuff. And that's why I call him a reptile.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the Arizona thing, and there was all this talk about how there were going to be major protests in advance of the All-Star game last year. There was nothing. It did not capture the imagination of the mainstream media. Nobody gave a damn, and it continues to be the status quo in the great state of Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a lot of ways it's worse now than it was then, because now it's just a fact. It's the law of the land out there, and so it means you just have a lot of players who are really scared. Great report by Brian Curtis on it on Grantland, where he spoke to a lot of players about it. And, you know, a real mistake by the Baseball Players Association, led by Michael Wiener, when they decided to, like, a lot of players were waiting for a lead from the union. Will the union have our back if we speak out? Several dozen players did speak out against the laws in Arizona, and the union's approach was, well, we don't want to mess with the All-Star game, and we want to let the courts take care of it. Because it did, a lot of the legal experts in there, I guess their mild defense, were saying that the courts were going to prune the hell out of it. But that's not what happened. And now the union is left issuing directives to players to make sure they have their papers on them at all times, which doesn't really help U.S.-born Latinos. They got to make sure they have their passports on them at all times. And that's what it means to live in Arizona right now. I mean, it's actually kind of sick.
It's unfathomable.
If Bud Selig had a spine, he would raise his voice about it the way the NFL did in the early 90s, where they pulled the Super Bowl out of Arizona because Arizona wouldn't celebrate Martin Luther King Day. In a lot of ways, this is far more egregious than that. I mean, that was symbolic. This is the actuality of harassing your actual players. And yet Major League Baseball doesn't do jack.
No, and it's really not a surprise. It's sad to say, but we're at the point now where nothing that Major League Baseball does or doesn't do really surprises us. On the other hand, I saw you sticking up for the National Hockey League last week and all their moves with You Can Play.
Well, it's an interesting move that they've made. I mean, Gary Bettman and Donald Fehr, I mean, found something that they can agree upon, I guess because it doesn't really cost either of them any money. They came together with You Can Play. I mean, frankly, that's any time you see owners agree to do anything that you think is good, ask yourself the question, is it costing them any money? I mean, for example, in the NFL, I'm not going to believe they're serious about concussions until I know that they're actually paying to have concussion experts on the sidelines. You know, fining players to take money away from them, I mean, that's classic owner behavior. But what the NHL is doing, which is, I thought was very interesting, was working with You Can Play to be proactive about creating a climate in the NHL locker rooms, which is already a good climate, according to percentages and polls of players, to make it so if there's a gay player, they can feel like they can come out of the closet and not feel like they're either risking their career or risking their relationship with their teammates. One of the things that they're instituting that You Can Play that I thought was the most interesting was the idea of having counselors made available by the league if there are players who are in the closet but one wants somebody to talk to and work through the issues with. I mean, it's beyond more proactive than anything you're seeing in the other leagues. And it actually creates a challenge to the other leagues. It puts a gauntlet down. It's like, well, what are you guys going to do? Because this is going to happen.
We're still not there yet, though, Dave. Tonight we had Bruins forward Tyler Seguin tweeting something with the word, he wrote, "no homo" at the end of it. And honestly, he's already, the half-assed apology is already out, though. And the tweet has been
erased. Yeah, the half-assed apology is already out. And, you know, I mean, just when people are for the first time on a national level feeling supportive of Boston.
Yeah.
You got to do something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that's true, too. I mean, so many people, myself included, like my whole radio show this week is going to be looking at Boston sports, even though I've spent my entire life despising their very existence.
Same here, man.
Because it's like, hey, you know, like let's show some love to the city, to the resilience they're showing, to what it is that makes Boston Boston. But you do have to say, and you know what? I'm going to say it this week too on my show, that what Tyler said, I mean, that's also what makes Boston Boston.
His excuse was that he was half asleep. He tweeted about 3 minutes ago, you know when you're half asleep and say or write something without thinking twice or realizing what you said, apologies on last tweet, good night.
Everybody's a little homophobic when they're half asleep.
Yes,
right?
I mean, absolutely.
I got like 4 hours of sleep the other night, walked out my door and punched an immigrant. I mean, these things just happen when you're sleep deprived. I mean, we become bigots. Unbelievable. I was kidding for the studio audience.
Yes. I think people know you well enough from our show to know that your tongue was firmly planted in cheek. And let's finish off talking a bit about Boston, Dave. I know you said that you want to cover the race next year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I'm already booked to cover it next year. And I'm going to be writing about it all throughout this year. Because to me, the key question is not will people rally to the race, because of course they will. I mean, it's not going to be, will next year be like this huge celebration and we will run and we will defy fear and all of that. All that's going to happen. I mean, they're already projecting 15 to 20 times the applicants of last year. I mean, crazy. It's going to be like that. But what I'm going to be looking at is, okay, well, what's the role of the U.S. state going to be while all this is going on? I mean, what's going to be happening? Because I've been to, like, pretty much all of them over the last 6 years, like all the Olympic cities except for China, that they wouldn't let me in the country. But other than that, I've been to the Olympic cities. I've been to the World Cup cities. Like, I've never been there actually for the games, which kind of sucks. But like 2 months before the games, I go there and sort of poke my face around and see what's going on. And I don't know if people in Boston are really ready for what a full-scale national security operation is going to look like in their city. And, of course, people are going to want to feel safe, but are they going to want an absence of civil liberties? Are they going to want people's apartments being raided? Are they going to want people having legal meetings to discuss legal things, have spies in those meetings, spying on people? I mean, are they going to want cameras everywhere? Are they going to want surveillance drones flying overhead? And, I mean, none of this is me, like I wrote. I was like, it's not like I just read, like, a Glenn Beck pamphlet or something, and I'm pulling this stuff out of thin air. This is what you do.
Well, it's the cost of freedom, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing. Like, there's that old expression, like, those who would surrender liberty for security deserve neither.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to take a seriously vigilant public that demands a say in what the security operations are going to look like next year. Or it's going to be, I think, a dystopic Blade Runner-esque nightmare, and which it shouldn't be, because next year really should be a celebration of the strength of the city and of the beautiful internationalist history of the race. But let's see what happens.
Was there any kind of opposition to the civil liberties suspended during the manhunt?
No. No, I mean, there certainly were pockets of people who protested. There were pockets of people who protested police brutality. There was an effort also by Occupy Boston to gather in the famous Boston Common, which was a direct, and do a vigil, which was a direct violation, of course, of them saying, don't gather in big groups, stay off the streets. So you had modest efforts, but by and large, I mean, it was a case of, I think, really, even the people who would protest these things really being in a state of shock.
Yeah, as I think really everybody was that turned on a television last week. It was one of those weeks, and we're happy to be on the other side of it.
I'm glad you said that, because when the 10th biggest story of the week is Elvis impersonator sends deadly poison to presidents,
yeah,
you know it's been a crazy week. And we got to remember, like, I know folks, I mean, it's a small thing, but I know folks in Boston who are from, I got a friend who's, like, from Texas, and from near West Texas. So they were, like, torn in two, like, with the trauma of the week. And when you're in a situation like that, the idea of saying, hey, let's do a rally for civil liberties, like, it doesn't quite flow the way it would. But I've already gotten, actually, like, I wrote this piece about, like, warnings for the marathon next year. It's already gotten a decent response, and I really do think people in Boston are going to be vigilant, because if they're not, I mean, I'm telling you, like, a lot of college students are going to have their dorms raided, and given what goes on in those dorms, which frankly has nothing to do with terrorism, but it does have to do with other things that are still illegal in the state of Massachusetts, I think that there's going to be some real anger.
Dave Zirin is the sports editor for The Nation magazine. You can find all of his stuff on at edgeofsports.com. Follow him on Twitter at edgeofsports. Dave, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, I'm thrilled just to be back on the show, man.
Hey,
thanks,
man,
for having me.
You're
back.
Welcome anytime. We'll speak very soon.
No human centipede reference this week, unfortunately.
Well, he called Bud Selig a lizard, though.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Thanks,
either
Dave.
Way, I kept it chill. I'll do it double dirty next time.
Deal. Thanks,
awesome.
Dave.
Talk to you.
Have a great night. There he goes, Dave Zirin.
The mellow Dave Zirin this week. Yeah.
The number
we'll get
one,
him pissed off about something next week.
Number one all-time favorite guest on the Kaufman Show.
I hope there are many of the other guests not listening right now.
Everybody else is fantastic. Dave
yes.
is a cut above.
Yes, he is.
We love having Dave Zirin on the show.
If he can get my old man to listen, that's great.
Gary, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll try and get him back soon. And I think we've left him so that he can't catch any of Stewart anyway. So.
Yeah, he's like, I've had enough now, the kid. I hear his stupid voice. I'm going to watch the news.
We're going to take a little break.
Yeah?
We're going to pay some bills.
Pay some bills.
John Kakalakis is here. He has a sports update coming up. And then we're going to talk some Blushing Brides versus Rolling Stones. You know, Stones tickets went on sale over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Cheapest ticket was $170. The most expensive was $650.
Those bastards. They don't have enough money? Unbelievable.
You can see the Blushing Brides on Friday night at Club Soda for free. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back with Mo from the Brides.
Plenty left, they got plenty to go. Hey, Mr. President, say it isn't so.
Petrol Blues by the Rolling Stones live on the Kaufman Show. Well, they're not live. I guess they were live when they recorded.
Imagine?
It.
I just called them bastards. That would have been a little bit of an awkward situation.
It would have. It would have.
Sorry, Mick.
I'm pretty sure that you calling them bastards was purely out of jealousy.
Yes.
You know, if we could charge $6.50 a listener for the Kaufman Show.
Yes.
And people were happy to pay it.
Yes.
Then we might.
No, I wouldn't do that.
But in the meantime, you can listen to The Kaufman Show on iTunes or at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com for free.
For free. We will not charge you.
And you know what else is free? This Friday's Blushing Brides concert at Club Soda. All you
Segway.
Have to do... Nicely done, eh? It becomes less nice, though, when you acknowledge them.
Yeah, sorry.
And mention
sorry
them.
About
okay.
that. I called you out.
That's all right. The Blushing Brides are playing Club Soda on Friday night. Tickets are free. If, there's a big caveat here, if you go onto the clubsoda.ca website and print them out in advance. If you want to go to the door and pick up physical tickets from Club Soda, it's going to cost you $12.50. But you know what? $12.50 is the cost of a beer at the Stones show.
Mm.
And frankly, you're going to get not just way more bang for your buck, but a hell of a show. We've got the lead singer of the Blushing Brides with us right now, Maurice Raymond. Hello, sir.
I thought that was Exile on Main Street Blues at first, and I wasn't sure.
It's called Petrol Blues. It's from the B-sides of Some Girls, which came out last year.
Yeah, I realized it as it was going along, but at first when I heard that, I thought it was the Exile on Main Street Blues, which we used to actually do a bit of it years ago.
Well,
how are you, lads?
We're great. And I only wish that you were with us in studio tonight, and then I would be forcing you to play your harmonica and sing like you did last time. But
something like that, some kind of... No, mumbling phonetically as Mick did there. Occasionally you heard, Mr. President!
that's pretty accurate,
pretty much,
actually. Yeah.
Well, anybody that's heard Maurice and heard The Brides before knows that there's really no issue with the sounding exactly like. It's, you know, a lot of cover bands, you go to the show and you kind of squint and think that you're seeing the band. You don't even need to squint when you're watching The Brides. There's this unbridled enthusiasm that Maurice and his bandmates have. And you guys have been doing this for how long now?
35 years.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
It's half the time the Stones have been doing it.
Well, the Stones are celebrating their 50th anniversary
right
now.
Oh, sorry.
So only 15 years behind.
Okay.
And
half the audience out there is saying, my God, that's pathetic. and the other half are going, wow, such endurance.
Well, I got to ask you, though, Mo, like, did you ever figure that you would be doing this at this age?
I thought I'd be playing music. I just didn't know I would be continuing along the, you know, Rolling Stones pathway. I'd never envisioned that. I didn't. No. The quick answer is no. To be... Yeah, associated with them for this long, you know, circumstances. It just worked out that way. I cannot definitively tell you how it ended up this way. There's just too many twists and turns, but here we are.
I love the idea of the Blushing Brides coming and doing a hometown show in Montreal 6 weeks in advance of the Stone show for free. And it allows fans to really put them up against each other and see what, I mean, obviously it's the Stones and you guys are playing the Stones music and it's a love letter to the Stones. But the Stones that you get when watching the Blushing Brides is a very different experience than the one that you get at the Rolling Stones concert in 2013 or in 2006 or in 89.
Yeah, the Brides, most of them are still alive. So that's a start.
So are the Stones, Jay.
Oh.
He's cruel, but fair.
Yeah.
That's why I keep him.
Very well put. Ronnie doesn't look good, I'll tell you that. Ronnie, I just saw some recent pictures. He didn't look good. I mean, I think, let's not be verbose, but, you know, if one of them's going to drop, I think it's going to be Ronnie. He's not really...
Jeez.
Jesus. Yeah. He may be dead, as Jay says. Well, you know, I don't know.
Well, most people are convinced that Keith Richard died in somewhere around 1982, I think.
Yeah, And what, you know, well, they should, because he wasn't looking good. But actually, the pictures I've seen of him lately, and I've seen some interviews, he's quite lucid, and he looks rather healthy, other than his hands, which look like something from the, you know, the witch from the movie Legend.
also 1982, I think, Legend.
I believe that was.
Yeah.
So we got this big show coming up on Friday night, Mo, and I would like you to have the opportunity to tell people who haven't seen The Brides what you guys deliver in concert.
Well, a lot of people out there, possibly, listening, are aware of The Brides. The Brides give an unbridled, full guns blazing interpretation based on the Rolling Stones at their finest period, which in our judgment was between 1969 and 1975. We base our sound on the 1973 tour, specifically from a bootleg called A Bedspring Symphony that was the template from which we derived our style from, and then added our own personality to it. So it's Give a Damn, and have been doing that for 35 years. You're not going to get cheated. You're definitely going to, especially when it's a free concert, you're going to be getting your money's worth. And it's just what we do. And we've always done it, and we'll continue to do it until we can't do it anymore. I do have a bit of a problem hip that I'm working on, but other than that, I'm perfectly all right.
Have you ever, like, had a mobility issue on the stage?
I had broken ribs. I jumped off a PA once and cracked two ribs and broke one in the midst of an 8-week tour, which was rather painful because I think it was about a week into it. So I had to go through the whole tour wrapped up on muscle relaxants, and that wasn't fun.
Is that what the kids are calling them these days? Muscle relaxants?
Yes. Yeah, that and copious amounts of hashish.
There you go. There it is.
There we go. Maurice Raymond, the lead singer and harmonica player for the Blushing Brides. Do go see them on Friday night. I plan to be there. I hope to see you there. They do it right. I don't know how to explain it in any other way, but there's a vibe. There's a certain vibe when Mo's on stage with that band, and they are just driving the beat, and it's an incredible feeling. And it's not a feeling that you get at the Stones. It's a feeling that I'm sure that you had at the Stones in 69, but it's not a feeling that you get at the Stones anymore. And my hat's off to you that you managed to recreate that night in, night out.
I thank you, Dave. We have a tagline, 50 of you will not make it past the first song. And we stick to it.
As a veteran who's made it past the first song a couple of times, I appreciate what you do, and can't wait to come out and support you on Friday night.
Well, Dave, you know to stay low and keep moving.
It's right.
You're a veteran of Bride shows.
Maurice Raymond, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, my brothers. Be well, and go Habs go.
Go Habs go. Speak to you soon. Friday night, Club Soda. Play me off, Jimmy.
Play me off, Jimmy. Oh, that's a good tune. I like that one.
Well, again, you can see this for $650 in June, or you can see it for free on Friday. And I'll tell you what, that version on Friday, go and tell me. You can call into the Kaufman Show next Monday. Go see The Brides on Friday night for free. You'll see. You're listening to The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave. I'm with Jay. You can follow Jay on Twitter at JPubRadio. I saw him mention that he had lost a couple of followers today. I'd like to mend that for you, my friend.
Okay, thanks.
You were saying that one of them was Yuppie.
It must have been.
And the other one was the crazy Chechen aunt from, just said that like I'm from Boston. But she was from Etobicoke, I think. Well, Chechnya, but
yes.
Lived in Etobicoke.
Yes, anti-angry. Yeah.
Wow. Too soon?
No, it's not too soon. The lady's crazy. What do you want?
Okay.
How is that too soon? Well, she's nuts.
Look, everybody has a crazy aunt or a crazy uncle.
Then
right?
That's what I tweeted. Okay. I said, everybody's got that one crazy aunt.
Do you think she's maybe gone a little more off the rails because the Blue Jays aren't performing up to her her expectations?
I'm sure that's the foremost thing on her mind. The best part is she's a defense lawyer in Chechnya.
Really?
Yes, she is. So next time I go to Chechnya, which will never happen.
Right, the 12th of never.
I'll make sure I'll behave. I won't commit any crimes because although she seemed pretty convincing, just intimidate people into finding me innocent, I guess.
I don't know much about the Chechen legal system, but I guess
I don't think there is one, Dave.
Russian legal system, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Moving on.
Yes.
Let's go back to Auntie Angry's view of the Blue Jays, because maybe she, like the rest of Toronto, was tweeting about it. You know, it's amazing how for the majority of the hockey season, the talk in Toronto was about the Blue Jays. And now that the Blue Jays have started playing, the majority of the talk in Toronto is about the Maple Leafs. It's as if people don't know what they want. Jays lose tonight? I believe the Jays lost tonight.
No, they won.
2-1, they lost.
They lost. Yeah, they lost tonight.
Markakis.
They lost, Dave.
Walk-off single in the bottom of the ninth.
Of course, my audience of Hellenic brothers, yes. Know that Nick Markakis had the game
yes,
hit.
And I noticed that John mentioned that, and I said, of course you did. Why wouldn't you? Good for you, Yanni.
I appreciate that. I can't relate, but I appreciate it. I guess if I was doing sports updates in the 30s, I would be sure to mention Hank Greenberg hit a home run today.
Well, you know, sure you mentioned if you were doing the update when Jeff Halpern scored his one goal with the Canadiens this year.
I actually tweeted about Jeff Halpern today.
Did you? Good for
I,
you.
I retweeted about Jeff Halpern today. Paul Wells, former Gazette writer who writes for Maclean's now, he wrote something, or he linked to a blog from the Journal de Montréal. Science reveals that the entire Bloc Québécois has received as much coverage in Quebec as the fourth line Habs, Jeff Halpern.
That's awesome.
The best part of that is that I believe the study is for the entire winter, and Halpern was the last addition to the team. Mm-hmm. He only joined the team at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that shows you the relevance of the Bloc Québécois right now.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Or maybe the relevance of the Canadians.
We once had a politician in studio.
Yes.
Matthew Dubé.
Yes.
From the New Democratic Party. He's the official opposition critic for the Ministry of Sports. And he tweeted something out interesting today. The Blue Jays are doing a training kids camp in his riding in Beloeil on the South Shore. The Blue Jays are coming.
It's random, isn't it?
They're doing baseball camps across the country.
Okay.
And they've chosen Beloeil, and Denis Boucher will be there, along with Tim Raines.
No.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah.
I might have to go down.
The Rock is back.
Go down and check that out. But yeah, it was in L'Oeil Régional, which is the local paper in Beloeil. Mm. I read them all, as you know. Mm. And and it's great to see that. Well, obviously, the Blue Jays are trying to help out baseball at the grassroots level in Quebec, but also that Tim Raines is coming. That's fantastic news. It'll.
Are you going to go down?
Well, I'll go check it out. I mean, I'll probably go cover it.
Yeah.
See if we can get some audio and play it on the Kauffman Show.
A little interview with The Rock.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
We'll try. Ask him about his Hall of Fame chances for 2014. And it's always interesting to see the Blue Jays making inroads in the province of Quebec. It's a sensitive operation still. Whenever we talk about this, we get a deluge of tweets and calls and emails reminding us that the Blue Jays voted for contraction.
Yeah.
You know, Expos management did a lot of things to piss me off, too, back in the days.
Yeah.
But well, it's a different ownership in Toronto now, and they're committed to growing baseball across the country. And I think...
Yes, and they can come into Quebec because we'll know who they are, unlike Terry Fox.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Yeah, well put.
You got to make inroads into Quebec. I mean...
It will only benefit the cause of bringing baseball back to Montreal.
Get the kids interested.
That's it. That's it. Cromartie's got baseball camps this summer. I don't know if you saw that, Jay.
That's a good deal. No, I wasn't aware.
Yeah. I can't remember. There are two different camps going on in the summer. One's going to be at in Côte Saint-Luc at the Gary Carter Field, and the other one I can't remember, but somewhere east of there.
Okay.
I think like half the time it's going to be in a French part of town, half the time it's going to be in an English part of town.
Yeah.
But fantastic news, hopefully picking up where John Elias and his Grand Slam baseball school left off all those years ago.
I always wanted to coach Little League.
Did you?
It's something that I wanted to do.
I did it 1 year.
But I don't think they'll let me near the kids.
Oh, come on. Of course they would.
Well, I'm a bad influence.
No, you're not.
No, but it was something
It's not like you're going to make them all drink in the dugout.
No. Why would I?
Not in the dugout.
Not in the dugout, yeah. Can't do that. It's illegal in the park. Bottles everywhere. It's dangerous.
Right.
It's something that I always wanted to do. Of course, I clearly don't have the time to do that, but I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what may come?
I did it the year after the Expos left.
You coached baseball?
With two friends in NDG.
Really?
Yep.
Well, good for you.
It was trying.
Yes, it is.
Kids were great. Parents, less so.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's always the problem.
I remember that from playing House League hockey in TMR growing up and hearing the parents yell at the kids from the stands. And it's cringeworthy to see the way that parents live vicariously through their children in what is really just it's organized sports, but it doesn't matter who wins or loses. It's House League. It's for fun.
Right.
And frankly, even if you're representing NDG and you're off to face Valley Field to see who goes to the... Whatever, these are still kids, and you have to treat it as such. And parents get so worked up about it. More worked up than you see people talking about the Habs, calling into TSN 690 and talking about the Habs.
Yeah.
Way more.
Yeah. When I was 10, I came to the end of my pitching career. I started off, when I was 8, I started off as a pitcher, and I was a damn good one, too. But I found that if you start pitching sidearm, you can get more velocity on the ball at that age.
At 10. Okay.
So I started to pitch sidearm. But when you pitch sidearm, you also lose a bit of control. And I hit a kid right in the head. Went off his helmet. The kid wasn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knocked him down, but he got back up. And his father stormed onto the field.
Oh, boy.
And started giving it to me. Like yelling and screaming at me and saying I was crazy, I was wild, I was out of control. And I was very upset.
I would imagine.
But luckily all the other parents turned on him and, yeah, it really started a big deal.
Yeah, but
my father was none too pleased.
A little crazy that it gets to that point.
Right? Yeah, that's amazing that you would walk. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it in a grocery store.
No.
To some other person's kid. Although... God knows that a lot of them deserve it, and I would want to do it, you know, some of the kids in these malls and stuff.
It's the opposite in the grocery store for me. I'll see a mom who looks like she's about to beat the crap out of her kid, and I'll want to intervene. It makes me feel awkward to see, you know, the family spat in a public place. But this is different. This is different.
This is a kid you don't know, a kid you never met before.
But equally cringeworthy, Jay, when the father of the pitcher is yelling at the kid while he's on the mound and not able to throw strikes.
That's more cringy. That's like, wow, you're just a bad person when you're doing that. They should just ban, and they're taking video and they're posting it on Facebook and nobody cares, and they're proud 1 minute, and then it's so hard. So hard on these kids. But you know what? For the most part, when I was growing up, we didn't really have that. There wasn't this kind of pressure on the kids, you know, because there wasn't a dollar sign in any of the parents' eyes.
Oh, I don't think it was about that when I was 10 years old and playing hockey in TMR. I really don't.
No.
I think it's parents who are living vicariously through their children. It's not, maybe it is in certain, it's definitely that way at higher levels. And maybe in more elite sports, but
I wouldn't know.
This was, you know, everybody in the neighborhood played hockey in house league in the town, and it was what it was. And most parents went, and it was sort of a celebration type thing.
Yeah,
but there was always that one dad on each side, or a mom and a dad on each side, that just took it a little too far.
Yeah,
and it would make the entire team feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that just proves my point that anybody could have kids. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. It's been done 7 billion times. Right now, as we know it, and you know, any idiot can have a kid, and it's proof in the pudding. I'm not a parent, not that I know of, anyway. but I don't answer the phone on Father's Day,
right.
Okay, that's my old joke. All right, sorry, but you know, and I wouldn't know what's in the very small minds of these people who are giving it to their kids on the field. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You can't put this pressure. I mean, I felt pressure. Just being on the field, the baseball is a very individual. It is a team sport, but there are individual performances. When you're up to bat, everybody's looking at you. It's not football or soccer or hockey.
When the ball's hit to you, when you're standing on the mound by yourself.
It all becomes all about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the beauty of the game, but it's also part of this, I guess, the curse of the game. So there's a lot of pressure on this kid in the first place.
All to say, Jay, this is why I don't coach kids anymore.
I'm
looking forward to coaching when I have kids that I'm aware of. I don't answer my phone on Father's Day.
Yeah. Or Mother's Day.
Right. That's a Sunday. Why would you answer your phone on a Sunday?
No.
Come on.
That's ridiculous.
That's just crazy. That's preposterous.
Day of rest.
We are religious men.
Yes.
In that case, I don't answer my phone on a Saturday.
Well, maybe
either.
Maybe I should coach Little League.
Why doesn't the phone ring?
Maybe I should coach Little League, because you know what I'll do?
What?
I don't. You know what? I don't even know what I would do. But maybe it takes somebody, because a lot of people are just afraid to say anything.
I look forward to doing it when I have kids, because I know that I'll have the temperament that will allow me to look over at the dad that's being an idiot while I'm coaching.
Shut up.
But as a 24-year-old kid, or whatever I was the summer after the Expos left.
Yeah. Different story. I
felt intimidated by some of the parents. Mm. It was a really weird situation to be in.
You know what you do? You kick the kid off the team.
Yeah, but again, it's not the kid's fault.
No, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You got to show this parent.
I remember one kid used to apologize for his parents. How sad is that? Some 13-year-old kid.
We've all apologized for one of our parents once in a while.
Yeah, I guess.
Especially at weddings.
I guess.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when they refuse to listen to The Kaufman Show because Jon Stewart's on.
I'm not apologizing for him for that. That's his job to apologize. You kick the kid off the team, or you suspend the kid because you simply don't want the parent at the park. And then there's consequences. Now, the consequences don't really reflect on the parent, but they reflect on the child as well. Look what you're putting your child through.
I hope that we see a lot of those, you know, the Little League-style families coming out to Toronto with us in July for the Expos rally.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be really cool. We're still short of our goal of people that need to commit to taking the train. Via Rail has offered to do a $99 return special to Toronto, but only if we get 55 people. We're at about 40, I think, or 30. So we got to get those numbers
up. You'll get it.
I hope
so. It's time. It's July.
I hope so, because it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, but we got to get it. We got to get it.
Oh, it's true.
You know? Yeah. People sign up. They got to buy their baseball tickets. They got to figure out where they're staying in Toronto for the night. There are some logistical issues that need to be taken care of. That being said, Jay, over 230 tickets have been sold for the baseball game alone already. That's a lot more than last year. And look how early it is.
How many were there last year?
I did a rough count and it got about 150. And think about how loud we were. So there's going to be twice that many people if the game was held tomorrow. The tickets are already bought.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Anybody that follows along with my math there half of 230 is not 150. This is the Kaufman Show where we like
That's
English.
Why you're on the radio.
That's right. Let's go to the phones. We've got Andrew in Montebello. Good evening, Chef.
Hey, boys. How are we doing?
We're great. How are you?
Good. Long time no speak.
It has been. Things are well?
Yeah, I went to the Dominican Republic to do some scouting for baseball, and unfortunately, I didn't see any of them on the beach.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were talking about bringing back a left-hander. It was really awkward the last time you called. I forgot about that.
Yeah, right. no left-handers, no right-handers on the beach. Beautiful country, nice place to visit. Broke ribs, so the guy from the Brushing Blades, I just, Mo.
Yeah.
Having gone through it.
This is the sound of what it sounds like when doves cry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
That's it. But you were talking about being fathers, and Jay, you said it so incredibly well, and I know you guys would be great dads. I mean...
Thank you, Chef. And all in due time, man.
No, seriously. Don't waste too much time. Don't do it when you get too old. It's not that I did.
I'm not too old.
Well, you're never too old.
I got to be honest with you. Kids are like... It's a terrible thing to say. I'm going to put it lightly, but I'm not going to put it lightly because it's me. So I'm just going to say it.
Right.
Kids, for me, I'm not a big kids fan. That's why I can coach Little League. Kids are like, they're like dogs to me. It's like I can take them for 15 minutes at a time and they have to be somebody else's.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm being honest about it. They're loud and I'm awkward around kids. You know, I don't know how to handle it.
That's why you would be such an incredible dad. For every stupid thing you just said, no, it's not stupid at all, but I mean, and seriously, just...
No, it is stupid. It is stupid, but it's true.
You're feeling, I wouldn't be up to it, and those are the guys who make the best fathers. Everything that you talk about, that I've heard you talk about, or any which way you want to say it, you're a very, very intense individual. You would be a very, very intense father. You're passionate about everything you talk about. There's no holds, no bars, holds bars. Sorry, guys.
That's great.
But, I mean, seriously, you guys would be great. And embarrassing your kids, that's a rite of passage. And that's a bonus. So you can actually embarrass your kids, but in a great way that all the other kids think you're cool. Those are the points of you. Your kids will love you for years afterwards.
Right, but not in the way of being a jerk at the baseball diamond.
In
the center of town.
No, because actually I was a hockey dad before with my girlfriend's son at the time, and I was the father who basically could not stand the other parents and would stay at the other end of the arena and just watch the game and encourage the kids and stuff like that. And those are the people, when you have those little fun games with the kids against the parents, are the people who never, ever, ever come down and play and show exactly the little bit of talent that they have at all, because, I could never do that in front of my kids. I'm going to look like a fool. No, but you can sit up there and chirp down Fs and chirp down at kids and pass the puck to Johnny. It's Johnny's turn. Johnny only played... I saw people with stopwatches.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was happy that he started when he was 11, and he realized 2 years later exactly what it was. And this is only house league. And he says, no, this is not for me. I can have more fun with my friends doing something else. Because at that time, it's just about having fun with his friends. And that's what so many people have lost touch with. Like you said, trying to live vicariously through your kids, it gets old real quick for everybody else around who's actually just in it for the fun and the sport.
Let's do it like a normal, rational human being. Let's live vicariously through the Montreal Canadiens, right?
Yeah, little downhill thing here, I guess.
Well, I was wondering if you're in panic mode or not.
No, because actually when I came back, they'd already started on the downhill slope, and I said, hints of 93, if we're going to dream, let's dream big. Let's say he's going to come back in. He'll lose the first two against Toronto, and he'll stand on his head and have like 10 shutouts in overtime. There you go. It's an easy recipe. They've done it before.
That's right. That's right.
Come on, people.
Yeah, no big deal. Come on.
Nothing there. Just relax or take a chill pill and everything's going to be fine.
As long as we beat the Nordiques in the first round, it'll be okay.
Yeah, and find out what Carey Price's real weakness is, which is his glove. And nobody really knows that anyway.
He'll be fine.
Exactly. I'm not worried at all. I'm sending people down to go to Club Soda because I just heard that the Blushing Brides are going to be there. Unfortunately, I'll be working, but I was talking. It's my daughter again, and she just said, Dad, anytime you have one of these other groups that Dave recommends, tell me about it.
Wow.
Very cool.
Seriously, yeah. Because the Arkells, she's now a faithful follower and listener, and she's gone out and actually bought music, which is like cool to see still.
Well, that makes me very happy. Tell her to print out the tickets in advance, and she can go for free. Otherwise, it's $12.50 at the door.
Excellent, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chef. Have a great night.
You guys.
Let's take a break. And then we will take some more of your calls. We'll speak to Torben Rolfsson. Van Guy is going to bring the funny again.
I would be a good father, Dave.
I know.
Chef from Montebello said it.
You're a good co-host. You're a good friend. You'd be a good father, Jay. Come on. This is The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back.
I like to rest a heavy head tonight on a bed. The California stars, I like to clean my weary bones tonight on a bed. The California stars, I love to feel your hand touching mine. Tell me why I must keep working on. Yes, I give my.
Starting hour two of The Kaufman Show on some Arkells, much like we start every hour one of The Kaufman Show. That is Kiss Cam. We've got a few minutes before Torben Rolfsen, the Vancouver sports comedian. You can find him on Twitter at VanGuy. He will join us in about 5 minutes' time. In the meantime, though, let's go to the phones. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546 if you're out of town. Let's go to Ron in Montreal North and see what he has to... He's going to agree with something you said, Jay. This is the pattern.
Ron's my boy.
That's right. Hello, Ron.
Oh, I usually agree with Jay.
That's right.
especially that particular show there where it was sort of like Dave Kaufman and the almost Yiddish circle.
The almost what?
Yiddish circle there. I didn't want to use vicious circle because, you know, I mean, I don't think any of you are vicious.
Well, I'm not vicious, so I'll accept
although,
that.
I'll accept. Although you do laugh a lot.
I do. Well, life can be quite funny sometimes.
But you know, like Jay was the voice of reason amongst that group. There.
Wow,
you
I must have
been, to bring everybody down once in a while.
I must have been really off that day if Jay was the voice of reason.
You want to hear something? You want to hear like something really insane? Here's a little story.
Sure, so, Ron.
I must have been about 12. No older than that.
Okay.
Second year of baseball, whatever, in the same league. Okay. Our coach has to quit for unknown reasons. So me and Reno decide, hey, you know, this is our second year, right? We can run the team. We know how to run practices. So we got to go sign for the equipment and make sure we bring it back and fill in the scorecards and, you know, and everything like that. We were doing that anyways. And believe it or not, we convinced them and they let us do it. They wanted to fold the team because obviously, you know, we had no coach, right?
This is not what you're suggesting.
12. We were 12.
Ron, this is not your suggestion Toronto Blue Jays now, is it?
No, but you know, it's insane the things that you'll do when you're 12 years old. And, you know, like you think that nothing's impossible. You know, and of course we played the whole year. We even went to the playoffs.
Hilarious.
We lost because one guy didn't show up for the final game.
Ron, are you panicking about the Habs or are you? I told you. You did.
I told you, but you were
too early on it. When you said it, they were doing so well.
Yeah, but I could see it coming.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I've been
you
watching,
clairvoyant
I've been watching,
you.
I've been watching hockey since 1957. So, you know, I mean, I've seen teams come, I've seen teams go, you know.
Well, I'm going to start treating you as my JoJo Savard in advance of Mise au Jeu.
You know, like, I don't panic because I never expected, you know, all the way from last place to the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's a bit ridiculous. You know, I mean...
And what are we, the 91 Twins? I mean, come on.
No, I think it's a great, I think it's a great achievement what we've done going from last place to be even up where we are. It's a work in progress. You know, we still need to get a couple of pieces, okay, to make it a better team. I mean, you know, anybody who would think otherwise. I mean, look at even in 93 we had, you know, we had Bobby Smith. We had a couple of other guys that we went to get.
No, we didn't. Bobby Smith was gone by then. I 93? Believe. 93. I don't think Bobby Smith was on
that
team.
Long gone.
Bobby
okay.
Smith. Did Bobby Smith?
Yeah, that was 86.
The 86. That's right. That's when they got Bobby Smith.
The character guys in 93 were Brian Bellows. The character guys were Brian Bellows.
No, that was 86, Brian Bellows.
No, that was 93.
No, that was 93.
And Gary Lehman as well. We got rid of the best character guy.
We got rid of Miller.
Miller.
Who's Muller?
Miller.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say Captain Kirk. That's why. And,
oh yeah.
So you know we went out. We got a few pieces that we needed there.
Yep, that's right.
You know, and unfortunately we don't have any big centermen. We don't have that.
Ron, I want to thank you for the call. We've got to go to Torben Rolfsson, who's waiting on the line from Vancouver. But I appreciate it as always. We'll speak soon, Ron. Thank you so much. That was Ron in Montreal North.
Can't buzz Ted's like we used to, but we have our ways.
Well, you've got it.
One trick is to tell him stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they called Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time.
Thanks for the call.
We got a guest coming up.
Abe in Springfield. We have to go to our guest. Torben Rolfsson is waiting on the line. He is the Vancouver comedian. You can catch his stuff on the Province blog, and you can follow him on Twitter at VanGuy. Torben Rolfsson, welcome back to the Kaufman Show.
Dave, Jay, how's it going?
Great. How are you, sir?
Doing great, thanks.
What's going on?
Not too much. I've just been, spring is in the air here, and the Masters just finished, and I've just been thinking about that a bit the past week.
Really? Have you been trying to figure out how to get Condi's green jacket?
Exactly. you know, the tinkling of pianos, the smell of fresh flowers, and people yelling, get in the hole. The Masters, or a romantic dinner date.
Wow. Jimmy, drum fill, thank you.
Tiger Woods, of course, penalized 2 strokes after a viewer called Augusta National to report a rules violation. The NHL is thinking of establishing a similar hotline for officiating mistakes, but it's going to be a 1-900 number.
Remember those, ladies and gentlemen? Anyone?
Yeah.
Anyone? No. Okay, next.
And 14-year-old phenom Tianlin Guan given a 1-stroke penalty for slow play at the Masters.
Yeah, that was rough.
After his parents insisted he take a quick break for his violin lesson.
Wow.
Oh, Torben.
With Adam Scott putting with a bunker rake, Kobe Bryant wants to borrow that thing for a cane.
Soon to be gone, the belly putters. Soon to be gone.
Exactly. And the NHL playoffs are looming. The Maple Leafs are back in the hunt for Lord Stanley's mug. Remember the fun we all had online the last time they were in the playoffs? The banter on Friendster, Prodigy, CompuServe.
Jimmy liked that one, yeah.
And the NBA playoffs started on 4/20. It's like we're living in some fantasy world dreamt up by pizzeria owners.
Jimmy didn't like that one.
Yeah, but that's okay. I like that one.
All right.
Jay, did you
and
like
finally,
that one?
Finally, Liverpool's Luis Suarez. He bit someone again. This time it was Chelsea's Branislav Ivanovic on the arm Sunday. Would somebody feed this guy? I mean, you're supposed to have sliced oranges at halftime in soccer, not fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Torben, I don't know if you saw, but he was followed by Mike Tyson on Twitter not long afterwards.
Oh, perfect.
Torben, everything's good with you. What's new in Vancouver?
Looking at the local hockey team, seems to be putting in a good performance tonight against the Blackhawks.
Yeah, is there going to be a good riot out there in the spring?
I don't think so. I think they're going to wait for the, if they ever make it back to the Stanley Cup finals.
Well, again, we're here for a long time, so we can be patient. And I wonder if it will be with a Luongo or a Schneider in nets. That's the only question.
Yeah, it's always a mystery when those two enter the playoffs, but it certainly looks like Schneider is in the driver's seat to stay.
Well, we'll be paying close attention, and I'm sure we'll be getting updates from you along the way. Torben Rolfson, follow him at VanGuy on Twitter. Thanks so much for your time, Torben.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Speak to you soon. I like the Hannibal Lecter joke. I like that Jimmy is like honest in it. You know,
Jimmy's
very honest.
Yeah, you know, he plays a drum beat when he likes it. You gotta love Jimmy. Jimmy is so honest. He's so honest.
Oh, it cracks me up. That's very funny stuff. You're listening to the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. If you've missed any Kaufman shows in the past. TheKaufmanShow.podbean.com. We just passed 50,000 views on the website.
We did not.
Thank you
50,000. Wow.
It's like a ballpark.
It's like a big ballpark. It's a ballpark in the 70s. That's what it is. When they're using old Olympic stadiums.
It's the Rogers Center.
That's right.
It's not Fenway, but it's a big ballpark.
50,000 people.
Yeah, saw that number this week. It made me very happy. Only going up from here.
Makes me more happy if there's a dollar sign in front of it.
We're working on it, Jay.
Oh, are we? Okay, good.
Is now when we give our boss's phone number and email address?
No, probably not a good idea.
Okay, well, in that case, you're listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 690 Radio. Blindness. Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show. Playing a disproportionate amount of Rolling Stones tonight.
I noticed.
Yeah, well.
I noticed.
Between the Bride Show on Friday and all the Stones' hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
You can't put a price on nostalgia, Jay.
No.
Makes for a perfect mix of the rich and the ignorant at these concerts.
It really does. I thought those were one and the same. I'm not going to get too controversial tonight. That was last week.
No, really?
Yeah, no, I'm just having fun tonight.
Okay. I mean, if there was something that you wanted to...
There's a lot I can say right now, but I'm not going.
Well, big controversy. Jay's ragging on the Stones. Didn't see that coming.
I love the Stones.
I love the Stones, too. I understand that there's a certain level of greed. How much money does one band need?
Amazing. Amazing. And the worst part, see, you got me going, huh? The worst part of this whole thing is
twist your arm.
That it attracts the kind of people to this concert that, I mean, it's not even about the high price. It's about, you know, the common man doesn't get a chance to see one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time.
No, I spent...
Because $650, and even if you go down to $150, is a ridiculous amount of a family man with three kids who wants to go out with his buddies and watch, you know, somebody that he grew up listening to.
I bought two obstructed blues obstructed view blues.
Yeah.
$300 for the pair, roughly. A little bit more than
ridiculous
for the pair. Yeah, ridiculous, but I'm a sucker.
And,
you tell me the Stones are coming to town, and this will be my 10th Stones concert, and it means something to me. So I'm willing to go and sit in the second to last row, and, you know, like we said, a mix of the rich and the ignorant, I'm the ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
But it does something to me. That being said, and I've seen them half a dozen times, the Blushing Brides do it better. And it's weird to think that a cover band is better than the actual band that they're covering.
Well, because they're doing the era of when they were actually good.
They do.
The Rolling Stones have not been good since 1979. Everybody knows that. It's very clear. They've been touring. I mean, come on. Steel Wheels? Are you kidding me?
That was my first show.
That crap.
Was my first ever concert.
It's a crap album.
You know what?
It but has one your of my lip, babe. It's so stupid.
Okay, but it also has one of my favorite Stone songs on that album.
Which one?
Slipping Away, the Keith Richards song.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Decent.
Perfect. I think that's the best song
Fine.
Keith's ever written.
Fine.
Well, that he sings. I mean, we
Between
all,
from... a rock. I mean, that's crap. That is crap.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. But it was also the 80s, Jay.
And it's not only
I can't name very many albums from the 80s other than Up to Here and Road Apples that I like.
These are the kind of guys in the 1960s.
And all the New Order fans call in and scream. Mike from Longueuil.
Yeah. These are the kind of guys in the 1960s who were a part of the hippie movement. The most hypocritical movement in the history of mankind.
The hippie movement?
Yeah, sure. You see John Lennon in the late 70s? Wearing beautiful fur coats and jewelry and walking around. But no, everybody's equal and everybody's the same. And it's not about money. It's about free love. And it's about I would perform in front of six people in an apartment and we'll smoke weed together.
Imagine
and,
no possessions?
Yeah. Imagine no possessions. And he's walking around with a fur coat and he's trying to preach peace and love and feed the poor. And he's walking around with a real, like an animal that was dead, like was alive like 8 minutes before he got that coat.
I had no idea that you were the fur coat guy. Are you really that guy? You
can't
preach
I don't care
peace
about,
if
I,
you kill animals and wear
No, them? No, I'm talking about the price of the
Maybe
coat.
Maybe he was cold.
Huh?
Maybe he was cold.
He's not cold. He's John Lennon, for God's sake. He can go to his mansion and he'll warm up in there with his six fireplaces.
Maybe it was to piss off Paul and Linda.
Yeah, maybe it was.
That would be, you know, the whole fur is murder PETA movement.
Yeah, and then they may started making a lot of money and they realized they liked the fancy cars and they liked the and they go went against everything they ever believed in or that they were preaching in the 1960s when they were just coming up and they found Dylan and they and they,
wait,
it's
are
all
you,
the
are
same.
Are you taking Can't Buy Me Love a little too literally here? Because I don't remember the Beatles as being the you know, poster boys for
well, was,
shit all.
I was like, going back to the Stones again.
This wasn't quite, well, the Stones too. There was no, they weren't the guys who wrote the soundtrack to Hair here. It was a little bit different. I don't think the Stones were, I mean, yeah, of course, Peace, Love, Dope, like everybody
I
else
saw
back
Mick Jagger in the All You Need Is Love video sitting around like a damn hippie, you know, with you know, clapping his hands.
All You Need Is Love video.
Well, yeah, that's it. But they all had that same belief. They're all hippies. They're all about that stuff. Walking around in their bare feet because, you know what, shoes are for rich people. And
oh,
they were against the corporate system.
You are funny.
Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong.
I just
and now they're charging $650 for a ticket at a damn concert,
Jay,
when they're 97 years old.
Jay, the Stones were getting in and out, going to all of these media appearances, jumping in and out of the back of a Rolls Royce.
Yes.
Don't kid yourself. It was the same back then. They lived in
well,
giant
that's, no, but that's what I'm saying.
Downton Abbey-style mansions back then.
And
the
that's what I'm saying. They're
now.
Hypocrites.
The difference between then and now was that back then, they moved to France to avoid paying their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Brian in NDG. I want to see him take this back to sports. Hello, Brian.
You're going to be disappointed.
How are you, man?
Not bad. I just wanted to question the question about how much money does one band need?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when U2 did their, well, they did their Montreal thing, they showed it on their website, kind of like as a pay-per-view situation where, I think it cost $40, and you could watch the Montreal concert anywhere in the world through their website. And so let's say 10 million people paid $40, that's 400 million.
Well, yeah, it's not all profit, but yeah.
You know, that's right. So that's a significant amount of money for one night's work. I wouldn't be surprised. if the Stones are have got something along those lines lined up too for their tour, for bands like those guys now, the old guys, there's a lot of money involved if they work out something through their websites for where it's broad webcast worldwide. You know, I guess.
Yeah, but the
I
problem guess. With that, Brian, is that it takes away from the concertgoer's experience. Why do I spend $100 to go and watch it and see him the size of an ant when I can watch it on television for $30?
I know, and you put, well, you know, it's the same thing. It, yeah, but they still sold out, you know.
Yeah, and, two nights
and,
in a row, in
you
fact.
Know, and it's about the money. I guess the rock stars and all these other divorces is expensive, you know.
Well, that's a huge part of it. That's why Paul McCartney started touring again. Because he lost half of his fortune to Heather Mills.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Suddenly, Paul McCartney, you know, I've now seen him twice. He didn't tour at all when I was a kid.
Mm.
And saw him at Fenway. He's been to Montreal. I think he's done four shows in Montreal in the last couple of years. He's coming back this summer to the Festival d'été in Quebec City.
And think about it. Think about the concert experience you're going to have.
Thanks for the call, Brian.
Think about the demographic that's going to be there in that arena with you. You know, you want to go to a real concert and you want to have fun? Like I did last summer, I went to see Suicidal Tendencies at Heavy MTL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a concert. That's a concert because nobody cares. Nobody has anything to lose. They're not coming in with their well-dressed wives and in their suit to see a Rolling Stone. Imagine, a Rolling Stones. Imagine they saw that they're looking ahead in time in 1970, and they see what their audience has become at that time. So they'd say, no, that means we've sold out.
Yeah.
That means we've become conformists.
Sort of.
Yeah. Well, they are.
Yeah.
So don't.
Yeah. And that's allows
that's
them
to. That's why I'm giving people crap about paying that kind of money to go see these
but it's,
geriatrics.
It's that get out of bed thing, right? It's how much money does it take for you to get out of bed in the morning? And obviously the number for Mick and Keith and Ronnie and Charlie.
Is $650 a ticket.
Times 20,000
right.
seats.
Right. And you know why most of those people are going, especially the ones who are paying good for the seats? So they can say that they were there.
Well, is it to say that they were there? Is it to say that they saw them? Or is it to say that they saw the last one? Is that the big poll right now?
Whichever one. It's all the same, right?
Every Stone show I've been to has been the, are they going to tour again? There's always an article in the paper leading up to it. Will the Stones tour again?
Yeah. So you're paying $650, essentially to put another check mark on your bucket list. Congratulations. Have fun at the concert.
Yeah, well, again, if you there are some people that $650 really affects for them to spend, and there's some where $650 is like you and I spending $5 at the bar.
That's it.
No, I look at this as an investment where I will go for a few less nice dinners, a few less nights out drinking, and that
I'm not giving
much,
you crap, Dave. I know you're a real fan.
Well, I know, but oh, and it's a weird thing to know in my
and
mind.
And there's going to be about 80 of you there
that I will have
all sitting next to you.
Yeah,
sorry.
For sure, because that's the seats we can all afford. Absolutely. Right. The Stones will be great. But if you want that Stones experience, like the one that your parents listened to, that your parents grew up on, it's Friday night at Club Soda for free.
More personable. You're there. You're close up. You can see the band. They still have energy. Running around, singing. An experience with normal people.
With the common man.
With the common man. People you can relate to.
The people who rock and roll is supposed to speak to, right?
That's right. People you can go have a drink with afterwards.
Well, it makes
or
me
whatever
laugh
else.
When you see, like, the idiot from, the idiot that went to my high school, from the jerk from Dragon's Den. The mean one.
Which one?
The O'Leary.
Which jerk?
The Montrealer.
Okay.
Kevin O'Leary. And you see him, they're like, these are people, too. He likes rock and roll. And they show some clip of him, like, you know, shredding on an electric guitar.
Oh.
It's like, oh, I get that, you know, music is universal and everybody has it. And you know, Jack White concert that I was at in October. And 2 minutes before Jack White comes on stage, there's an announcement. Please don't take photographs. Mr. White doesn't like photographs during the show. And 30 seconds after the show starts, some dude rams into me, stands in front of me, and pulls out his camera, starts taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been part of the consortium that owned the expos.
Okay.
He might have been.
He might have been.
Might have been, you know, the son of a spirits baron from,
yeah.
you know, maybe Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Someone who I might run into at synagogue if I was to go to a synagogue.
Right.
I don't know. Well, you can paint your own picture. I don't think we're talking about Jean Couture.
Best concert I ever went to?
Uh-huh.
Public Enemy.
Where?
I think I told you that, eh?
Where was it? Was it Sepsum?
No, it was at Rainbow Heights. It was Rainbow Heights in NDG.
Was that near Vendome Metro?
In their little hall.
Near Vendome, right?
Right near Vendome.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
You know how many people were there? About 60, 70 people.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. My favorite, most of my favorite concerts are ones where it's a tiny room or where I'm so close to the stage that I might as well be in a tiny room.
Yes. Yes, they
it's
were.
It's that feeling. It's,
they were serving Jamaican patties out of a toaster oven. It was the best thing I ever went to. And when and
see, I had a hip experience like that in November, seeing them in just north of Albany.
Yes.
And it, this tiny little bar. It was amazing.
During the intermission, Chuck D comes out and he's having a Jamaican patty with us with 60 people. And then we all, it's like we all go right back in and say, and he gets back up on stage and he starts performing again. Flavor Flav grabbed my cell phone and started talking to my girlfriend at the time.
Your brother must have lost his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Chuck D gave his sweatband to my brother. It was the best. That's wow. A concert. You're around people you can relate to, too. It cost me, I think, I don't know, $10?
Yeah, that sounds about
it
right.
It was about 13 years ago?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. That's a concert.
That's awesome.
$650 driving up in your Lamborghini and then going out afterwards having some caviar and saying, I also was over at the Rolling Stones concert.
It was very nice.
Yes. It was fantastic. Mick looked wonderful. He looked wonderful.
The song ends, people continue to sit and just...
Yeah. No cheering, no smell of weed.
Bravo! Bravo! Yeah. Oh, there better be
some
cheering.
Some guy comes into the pub after that and starts... I'm going to say, kill yourself. Punch yourself in the face.
Oh, this is fun, isn't it?
Sports.
Yeah.
Sports.
I like sports.
Yeah.
Sports are fun. Last week, we concentrated on sports and... well, did we? Or did we talk about terrorism?
Well,
they were. Sort
it
of,
was at a sporting
together.
Event, so
yeah, they were together.
It's relevant.
It's relevant. It's look. You want to talk sports? We can talk sports. We can turn this into WEEI Sky is Falling Radio, and open the phones to the floodgates of Carey Price sucks phone calls. But frankly, I don't want to hear them.
Right.
And when they're airing during the day on this station, I turn the radio off.
Hmm.
I can't stand that. But we do have a caller. Well, let's go to Travis on line four over here. We got Travis in Asheville, North Carolina. Good evening, Travis.
You were calling for Angry New Order fans.
Angry New Order fans. Here's one. How are you, sir?
You know, I'm fine.
Good. And, good. I didn't mean to offend your 80s band. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Good.
I wasn't alive for the best years anyway, so I guess I shouldn't complain. Yeah, that's the convenient part about liking music that was before your time. They're all dead, so you can't wish you had $200 for the concert.
Well, I don't know. The majority of the music that I listen to or that I like, it's not new music, but I think most of the artists are still alive for the most part. I mean, you can still go see The Who. There's two out of the four guys still kicking. Now, for me, I guess the big one that I haven't seen that I want to see that I will never see is Zeppelin. But, like, you know, if I want to drive to Saratoga, I can go see Tom Petty this summer.
Yeah.
And Dylan is playing with My Morning Jacket and Wilco this summer in Saratoga. Got to figure Melnick's going to be heading out to that one.
Yeah, well, the only thing I would spend similar amount of money towards, like, I wouldn't spend $650 to see anybody, you know. But if I had a time machine, I think I'd spend $650 to go back to Manchester, England in the late 80s. But that's not really realistic.
Well, not really or not at all. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, in fact, it's impossible.
That's the one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the... Right adjective.
But of all the places to go, you would go to Manchester, England, across the Atlantic Sea in the 1980s.
Yes, that's where I go.
Pray tell why.
Oh, well, for the Hacienda, for Factory Records, that sort of thing.
Okay. Okay.
But sports.
I thought it was because you love Margaret Thatcher so much.
Oh, no. Well, no, I mean, I'm not gonna dance around that she's dead, but, you know, I'm not exactly a huge fan.
I was joking. So, sports, Travis, what's up?
Well,
Deportes. You
know, the Jays are very, very bad.
The Jays are getting off to a slow start. They're not very, very bad. Can we reserve very, very bad for the Marlins and the Houston Astros, please?
We can, yeah, but I have no emotions for the Astros and the Marlins. So.
Okay.
I, of course, now the thing is, as you were saying, the ridiculous, you know, stuff about the Habs. I hate hearing that, and I just avoid it every possible way, because if it, you know, it just seems like such a tiresome thing.
There's a time and a place for those calls, and it's after the Habs get knocked out. It's if the Habs get swept by the Leafs, I will open the phone lines for 2 hours for those phone calls. But until then, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, what got me the most was that, you know, there will, of course, always be that demographic that will look for one person to blame for everything. Oh, look, lots of goals. Must be the goalie's fault. Hmm. But, you know, come on. I mean, you'd think people would give it a little bit more thought. Look at the games a bit more. I mean, I understand watching a hockey game and having a few beers, but, you know, it is possible to look objectively at things.
It's encouraged. It's encouraged. It's not always expected, but it's encouraged.
No, and
it allows for longer calls on the Kaufman Show, that's for sure.
It does. And I remember you were saying a couple of months ago you rooted for Boston in 2011 in the playoffs.
Once the Bruins made the finals, I wanted them to beat the Canucks, yes.
And, you know, and fair enough, with the recent antics of the Canucks, I'm not exactly a huge admirer of theirs anymore, but the only team I'm incapable of logical reasoning about is the Boston Bruins in any sport. You know, there's teams I don't like. I don't like the Capitals, I mean, the Nationals. And I think it's partially because being down here, you see more of the, I'm glad the team moved from Montreal because nobody cared about it. You see more of that stuff here than I guess you do there, but.
So you had no, there was no part of you that wanted Boston to beat Buffalo on Saturday in the first sporting event being held in Boston after the terror, after the bombings?
I did, you know, because there's a time and place for everything, and that would have made people feel better.
Right.
And, you know, who cares about 2 points compared to people being happy?
That's it. You know, it's that temporary release. It's so nice. And you know what? I'm not a fan of the Boston Red Sox, but it's nice to see how well they're playing right now.
Yeah, you know, and the only thing that gets me is that every, you know, once there's some kind of tragedy, you remember, of course, the 2001 World Series.
Yes, very well.
And the Diamondbacks. And
see, but nobody was mad at Arizona for winning.
Nobody was mad at Arizona for winning, but people acted like, oh, shucks, you know, we didn't want them to win.
Yeah, and one of the few times in recorded history that the Yankees had sympathy.
Yeah.
And because it was for their fans, the same way the Mets, you know, I mean, the Mets were I think that the day that baseball came back after 9/11, I think it was Mike Piazza hit some sort of massive home run for the Mets.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's a feel-good moment. And, you know, it sucks that it takes situations like that for people across the board to realize that this is just, you know, a jersey with a color that happens to be different than the color of the jersey of the team that I cheer for. But every once in a while, it seems like the world, the ugly head gets put away for a while.
Well, you could see, you could see the relationship between teams and when, you know, some kind of disaster happens in a certain city. Most people can relate to cities because of leagues, of professional leagues, because how many times are you going to see the word Boston? The most times you ever see the word Boston is when you're playing against their team or when you're talking about it on sports. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see the city of Phoenix very often mentioned on the news or other places, but you know these places because of the teams, especially if your own city has a team in the same sport. So that's why people identify with the sports team. You'll see everybody's wearing Red Sox jerseys, hosts on stupid TV shows that I would never watch or coming out with the Red Sox jerseys and the B hats and all that, mm-hmm. because you can relate. You can relate through sports.
It's a tribalism. And
Even the president, even the president mentioned the Bruins
course,
and the Red Sox.
In the speech, yes.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, that's how people can relate to the city of Boston. That's how they know the city of Boston is mostly through their sports teams.
Through Bobby Orr and Larry Bird.
Yep.
And if every once in a while the often profoundly negative tribalism of professional sports in this continent can be used for even slightly positive means, you know, why not?
That's the hope. It's, you know, allow us to sustain it and become better people out of it, right?
Exactly.
Travis, thanks so much for another wonderful call.
Cheers.
We'll file it with the rest of your wonderful calls. Let's go to Jerry and NDG. You're on the Kaufman Show, Jerry.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, I have to tell tell you, you know, I'm from the States. I mean, I went to the States and I became American. And my late wife and I, we visited Boston often. And we went one Patriots Day to the Red Sox game, and then after we watched the marathon. And trust me, we know what it's like there. They're so patriotic, the Boston people. And unlike, you know, Bruins fans, the Boston people are very nice and very, very friendly people. No, really. The Bruins fans, you know, I can tell you something. I lived in Montreal, and I remember when Esposito, well, you don't remember. You're too old.
No, you're going to have to talk to me about Cam Neely and Andy Moog.
Esposito was winning the scoring championship, and I pick up WBZ at the time on the radio, and I hear some stupid fan, "Hey, Esposito, what have you done lately?" He's only getting 76 goals and 152 points. That's what he's getting. And you know,
yeah, but you get that in every city. Come on.
Oh, I know. I
you get that here too.
We are no better.
No,
we are no better.
Not.
No.
You know, I hear people call up and say they're Habs fans. You know. When we lived in Washington, D.C., you know what was on our plates?
What?
Go Habs.
Really?
And everybody knew we were Habs fans all over the place. I was stopped because in Washington, D.C., it's very transient.
Well,
and there
course.
Are people from all over the place. I saw a guy with Canucks on his plates. I saw a Blue Jays plate. I saw Habs 10 referring to Guy Lafleur, and people knew I was a Montreal Canadiens fan.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We don't do vanity plates in Quebec.
No, I know.
It's something you notice when you go to Ontario and when you go to the States, but we don't.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I think it's great that you can have some, when the Canadiens stunk on Saturday and lost to the Capitals, it was like depression time for me because I hated even though I lived in the Washington area, the only Washington team I rooted for were the Nationals because they were the ex-Expos.
Yeah, again.
And I don't blame Washington for this.
Something that we differ on, you and I, sir.
I
get it. You live there.
I do. I blame them. Scavengers.
I blame the owner of the Miami team and Bud Selig.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. I don't blame the fans in Washington. I learned last year when Drew Storen came in to take care of that game and couldn't that I'm not over it yet. Because I felt very good watching the Cardinals come back and defeat the Nationals in that series last October.
Seagulls.
I felt very, very good. Jerry, thanks so much for the call, man. We'll speak soon. Have a great night.
Yeah,
still not over it. Like watching the Nationals play. Really exciting baseball team.
Yes.
Really exciting baseball team. But those road uniforms still kind of remind me of the Expos.
They do.
Yeah, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. The gray ones.
Yeah, the gray ones. They're very similar. Exactly the same, as a matter of fact.
They look a lot like an Expos uniform. The only real difference would be that the Expos wouldn't have had a Strasburg and a Harper in the lineup at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been just wishful thinking.
No.
The closest would have been Vasquez and Guerrero. But,
Pedro and Guerrero were on the same team.
Guerrero was too young at the time.
Okay. So two players on the Expos who were dominant at the same time. Well, Dawson and Carter.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going modern day.
Version
of the Expos. No. But what I mean to say, though, Jay, is that I think it would have been a hard sell to get guys like that to sign with the Expos.
Okay.
Whereas signing with Washington, of course.
It's an interesting trivia question, though. You know, if there were two, like, legitimate all-stars.
Well, there were. Guerrero and Vidro were legitimate all-stars.
Yeah.
And both started, I think. I believe at least in 02 or in 03, both started in the all-star
game. Yeah, one was because of injuries.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't know who. What?
Yes, Jimmy.
Reigns, Dawson, and Carter. Yeah, three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you go to 81 all-star game, right? And there were five.
There were five of them.
Rodgers plus Rodgers and Oliver.
Yeah. There you go.
Those were the days. It'll come. Patience. In the meantime, I hope you all enjoyed listening to the Blushing Bride's version of commercial radio, The Kaufman Show. The Club Metropolis version of commercial radio versus the The Olympic Stadium version that you normally get.
Yeah. And like the Blushing Brides, it's free.
That's right. That's right. And we'll continue to be at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. Once again, Jay, my lovely, talented co-host, is on Twitter at JPubRadio. I am at The Kaufman Show. Do get in touch, and we'll be back next Monday night with even more fun for you right here on TSN 690.
Listen up, kid, it's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel, we're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. Do you hold a grudge anyway? Because it's fun. Face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
That's another Kaufman Show in the books. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll see you next Monday night.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?